issue is that career politicians are Muppets of the triangle of the military industrial academic complex. They want dummies, okay? So the issue of clean water, clean air, clean food has been taken out, and the idea is to lower CO2. You know what happens when you lower CO2 over 200 parts per billion or per million? All life on Earth dies. So why? Because the state is so corrupt, right? So they're gonna now extract more money from us peasants, so they can then feed it more as a vehicle to say we're gonna help the climate change, when it's essentially gonna feed this very corrupt infrastructure.
After too much procrastination, finally the shop is up on sarahwestell.com with all of my favorite products and affiliates. Between this and Patreon donations, I can keep providing you with important independent reporting and interesting interviews. Products available include the skincare products I personally use, hemp oil infused with C60 serum and Defy Times TAM serum. Also, Tetragen's amazing weight loss product that gives you an industry first money back guarantee because they know it works. Please visit my shop to support independent journalism and to get the absolute best products on the market. Also, for a limited time, be sure to download the free ebook, Water, How Water Connects All Living Things.
Most movements, Susan B. Anthony, when she went to the Democratic Congress to ask for help, they laughed at her. What did she do? She went direct to people. People need to understand, F these celebrities, F the wannabe Hollywood people, okay? And I used to be out in Hollywood for 3 years. Nice people, but you know what? That culture imbues us and pollutes our psyche. People think you need these other people. What we need is we need to educate people. My great-grandfather, who I remember well, was an indentured servant. He had very little money, but you know what he said? Educate, educate, educate. He would, whatever money he had, if you wanted a book, he would take the money out of his satchel and give it to you. We need to educate people. In this movement on the vaccine situation, it's not vaccines. My goal is to educate people, like I was just doing earlier, how the dynamics of social movement works, what are the principles, and let people recognize that if you start saying censorship is okay because this movie is good, you're going to lose right there. It goes down to educating people, an individual person, so they can go educate their neighbors. And it's basically to inspire people. People's guts get hidden down every day. It doesn't help. We need to educate people on how to fight. The issue is what is to be done, not what has been done.
Well, I agree with that 100%, that you get out there and you get things done. But I don't agree with you to say that anytime you question conspiracies or question the establishment, that you turn it into a conspiracy, because that is a way to discredit. People in my world are, and me, because I look for facts and no, but you did say conspiracy. You did say, just me bringing up some of these things, you classified it right away as a conspiracy. And they use that word to just, you got to be careful when you use that word, because it's a blanket discredit word that the CIA created after JFK to discredit anybody who questions the establishment. So it's important to use that word
carefully.
No, that's
not what I'm saying. I'm saying you should question the establishment. But if we make things that we cannot take down a path. Yeah, what I'm saying is Bernie Sanders says, I believe in science. Okay? There are so many things we don't need to believe in and conjecture if you just follow the money. If you follow the money on climate change, you can see its carbon tax needs to be imposed to extract wealth of every person. There's not, quote unquote, a conspiracy there. It's very clear what's going on. And what I'm saying, that's what I'm trying to say. We can just focus on actual realities that we don't have to conjecture. So when you look at any one of these situations, there's actually material fact of what's going on, and connecting those dots is itself sufficient, and it makes our arguments even stronger, because what's happened in this world is there are the establishment, the resistors, there are the change agents, and there's a lot of people watching the arguments, pro and con, and the echo chamber on either one of these sides doesn't help these people. These people can easily be brought over with actual facts. So for example, on this vaccine issue, the real issue on this issue is one size doesn't fit all. The entire future of science is based on personalized medicine, which is you have a certain body, I have a certain body, your daughter has a certain body, your child has a certain body. Giving everyone 30 vaccines is a one-size-fit-all model. And all of even modern medicine is saying you have to figure out what's right for the person. So that thing, everyone is understandable. What's happening is the left and the right, that dichotomy gets created. The people in power love dividing people. And on every issue, they divide people up. And you have these two echo chambers of people in the middle who actually need to be convinced, never get convinced. And the only way to bring those people over, you have to take a rational systems approach to go into a problem and find what the real problem is, the real solution. So in this discourse on vaccines, it's not about pro-vax or anti-vax. The real issues, there are a whole array of medical interventions, exercise, you know, drugs, surgery, vaccines, turmeric, right? Herbs, whatever it is. The issue is it's not pro-turmeric, anti-turmeric. It's not pro-exercise, anti-exercise. It's your body needs something particular for you to get resilient health. That's what the real problem is. And you need to educate people that the immune system is a complex system. Your body is different than others, and we need precision medicine. And in order to do that, you need to have choice. You see, that thing, I can convince anyone there. But if I go and say, oh my God, there's a vaccine conspiracy, they're putting mercury and aluminum in it, and they're going to, it's like it takes away from the real truth here, which is that your body is a unique system. Climate change, they want to make it be pro-climate, pro-CO2, anti-CO2. That video, I've convinced so many people, because when people see, wait a minute, CO2 is not the issue. The issue is pollution. The Paris Accords actually allows China to pollute another 11 billion more tons. No one even bothered reading the Paris Accords. They said, really? India is allowed to double their pollution to 4 billion tons.
Exactly.
So what
it's
is
pollution.
The Paris Accords?
It's not. It's pollution. And it's we have some issues with large animal extinction and some stuff like that. But yes, but not CO2 isn't the core of the issue.
It's not CO2. So what's happened is in the 60s, 70s, people were getting clear it was clean air, clean water, clean food. Monsanto, which dirties our air, dirties our water, dirties our food, is pro-climate change. Go to their website. Okay. Bill Gates is pro-climate change, he's pro-vaccines, he's pro-GMOs, et cetera. So the issue of clean water, clean air, clean food has been taken out, and the idea is to lower CO2. You know what happens when you lower CO2 over 200 parts per billion or per million? All life on Earth dies.
Yeah, vegetation Everything decreases. Dies. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I did a show on the hoax, too, and I've been talking about it. And the serious issue with that, is the central bankers are using it as their banking model for their, I don't know if you've been following what the central bankers are doing, and this would be really interesting for you to follow. They're basing their whole banking model on CO2. The ones who have a small or zero CO2 footprint will have access to capital. The ones, this is what the central bankers are proposing. And Carney, he's the governor of the Bank of England, and there's all sorts of them. And they did that when they're in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, at their central banking meeting, and also at the UN. And they are saying that they want to say that if you have a huge or a large CO2 footprint, you don't have access to capital. They're also saying that they want to do a worldwide digital currency and go around the governments and tell the governments where they should be spending their money. So you want to follow the money. Yeah, that's following the money.
In Massachusetts, the third most crumbling, Massachusetts has, you know, this is the center of science and technology, right? The American Institute of Civil Engineers rated Massachusetts as the third worst crumbling infrastructure, okay? Guess what? Massachusetts was also rated, interestingly enough, by the Public Integrity Organization as the third worst, most corrupt state in the union. So think about those things, corruption with infrastructure, okay? Because the construction guys, and so what's happened is in America, if you think about the economy, $4 trillion in the federal budget, you can think about the economy, I explained this in another video very simply, is there's that money, the $4 trillion that comes in every year, it goes into three buckets. One bucket is for security, another bucket is for equity, a third bucket is for infrastructure. Security meaning broadly, you know, for the FDA, EPA to protect our borders, military, right? The second bucket is equity, which is free stuff, Medicare, welfare, food stamps, et cetera. The third bucket is infrastructure. Now, if you get elected as a politician, you have a 2-year, 4-year, 6-year term, where do you think you're going to vote? Because all you care about is getting elected and reelected and reelected.
You're just going to go after free stuff.
Bucket two, right? Yeah. So what happens is because that's short term for everyone, short term for them winning and short term for the victims of who they think they're helping. No one invests in bucket three, which is infrastructure. And what's happening right now is there's a great report written by Philip Howard, a very good analyst. And he says that in the United States, money's not the issue anymore. In China and in Singapore, they can build a bridge from the time they say go to build it in 2 years. Same in also Germany and Canada, which are non-authoritarian relatively, right? You know how long it takes in the United States? 10 years. You know why? Because the permitting process is so corrupt. So Trump just released $2 trillion. We are not even going to get it distributed because the last time $800 billion was released in 2008, you know how much got distributed to infrastructure projects? Only $50 billion. So it's not even money. It's a level of corruption.
Well, I think you're right on track because we've been talking corruption is the core problem with everything right now. But
Corruption is so bad, what they're realizing is they can't even build the infrastructure. So the carbon tax is in Massachusetts, the governor of Massachusetts is planning on being the first governor to have carbon tax added to property tax. Okay? So why? Because the state is so corrupt, right? So they're going to now extract more money from us peasants so they can then feed it more as a vehicle to say we're going to help the climate change when it's essentially going to feed this very corrupt infrastructure. So if you just follow the money, you realize that CO2, number one, is not a pollutant. We need to lower pollution. These are very simple facts. Carbon tax is a way to basically impose more tax on people to encourage pollution. And so all of us get taxed more. Businesses are going to pay more, et cetera. The solution, I care about solutions. The way out of this is you have to go long. We have to invest in infrastructure because then we solve the short-term problems.
Okay, well, let me ask you. I'm going to get back to Epstein a little bit because one thing that I've learned doing all these things, you know, really coming up with good solutions and really, which you still have to do, you have to always look at what the good solutions are. I like what Twyla Braes is doing with healthcare. If anybody hasn't seen that video, she's got this wedge program, totally awesome. But my point is that there's this whole blackmail system.
Sarah, and the video is really poor. I don't know if you're seeing that on your end.
No, if you're great.
Your video.
You're great.
You're fine.
So,
okay, that's fine.
Yeah, as
okay,
long as sorry. You're great, it'll be okay. Okay, well, let me continue with this blackmail situation. Is that a lot of the people at the heads of industry and this what Epstein was a blackmail organization so that they could control the, it's like this big mob cabal thing. The corruption is controlled through this whole blackmail system. And until we have to really fight that corruption to be able to even solve some of these basic problems. We still have to try to solve these basic problems. We still have to take control of it and do everything we can to do it. But if we don't start knocking down and cleaning up this corruption, and first and foremost, this blackmail corruption, the good people can't rise. Just like you can't get good people in universities because they leave, you have good people leaving because they don't want to be blackmailed. They don't want to be surrounded by a bunch of creeps and thugs. They want to do good work. They want to be good people. And then they realize, I'm freaking going to be blackmailed. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to about this.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do about that? I mean, that's pretty serious.
So the issue comes down to, do you want to accept the way the world is or do you want to change it? And if you want to change it.
Yeah, how do you change that? What do we do?
So as I mentioned earlier, there is just like, you know, if you want to build a car, if you want to make a pot of soup, or if you want to clean any functional thing you want to do, forget science, right? Anything real, you find out after a while there's a skill, there's an art, there's a methodology, right? There's a skill, there's an art, there's a methodology to create revolution, which is to create change. And that those principles involve what I've identified, there could be other six things from my own experiences fighting this and having been successful in various aspects of my life and in other ways. One is you have to be inclusive. You have to have open discourse. We have to include as many people as possible. Anything we do has to be transparent. So if we do research, what we should fight for is, you know what? Anytime we fund research, all of it goes online. All the data is shared. We have to take a systems thinking approach. You can't take a limited approach. You have to fight for decentralization of everything. You know, the solution I promoted against big tech censorship is the use of the Postal Service. Let me explain. And I created the first email system when I was a kid. In 1997, I was in the middle of running another email company for analyzing email. I was doing it for a bunch of companies. And I met with the Postal Service. 1997 is important is because that is when email overtook postal mail. And I met with the Postal Service and I said, look, you guys need to offer a public email service. And they said, what are you talking about? I said, do you know why the Postal Service was created? It was created because the Crown was not allowing me and you to communicate political information. So when Franklin and those guys created the Postal Service, the idea was that I would be able to send you a communication. It just so happened to me at that time with letter, and no one else would intervene. In fact, the Postal Service as a police force, that if I send you a communication, anyone within the Postal Service intervenes, or for that matter, anyone, is 20-year sentence in prison. Okay? They create the Postal Service, people have forgotten, was the guts of the First Amendment. Now, fast forward, digital media comes, email overtakes postal mail, volume 1997, and that email that overtook it was all free mail, right? Hotmail, Yahoo, Google, because up until 1993, the email system I created was limited to offices. When the web came, people put a web front end on it, and it became, you know, modern web-based email. When that day occurred, more email became a consumer application. Millions of people started using it, but we traded our freedom for that free email. The Postal Service, I was telling them, look, you guys should offer a public email. I would be willing to pay $50, but the cool thing is everyone intervened with that. It's a 20-year sentence in prison. They didn't listen. They said, look, you're a 29-year-old kid. What do you know about us? We're a 500,000 person organization. Buzz off. 2011, the Postal Service is going out of business. I did an interview with Time and Fast Company saying these guys are, at that point, I called them idiots. And I said they could make billions of dollars and not go bankrupt. The Inspector General, Dave Williams, contacted me. And he said, Shiva, why are you attacking the Postal Service? I said, Dave, I have a solution. He commissioned me to write two reports, Sarah. They gave me quite a bit of money. I wrote two reports, one saying how the Postal Service could make money and create a public email service, as well as a service for all social media, YouTube, Facebook, all of this. Anyway, that report was delivered. They'd done nothing. That's a decentralized model of communication, which means the Postal Service, which is owned by us, by the way, it's not really a government institution if you look at it. That institution could have its own servers, could create its own network, which is a network owned by the people for the people. That's what the Postal Service was set up for. It was a public commons. So what I'm saying is, this is a solution. That's a real solution. You know, when I met with Donald Trump Jr. 2 years ago, I said, he said, yeah. But, you know, he doesn't fully get it. He told me, go speak to some 35-year-old kid. He didn't do it. I met him again. He said, go speak to Charlie Kirk. These people don't get it. And they're whining. These conservatives are whining about big tech censorship. I have a solution. And the solution has always existed. But they don't use their brains because they all get wanting to be celebrities.
Well, they don't have that background. Well, they don't think about it like that. Okay, my background is, as you know, is I have computer science and background, engineering background. Okay, so you are going to run for Senate. And one of the things that I said to you is it is so great that we need more people with science and tech understanding to be in Congress. They're clueless and know what to do so that we don't end up with this technocracy nightmare on our hands because these big techs are taking over. We need people like you in Congress to educate people and say, hey, we need these companies to be able to be servants for us and keep our freedom, not take it all away, which is what they're doing now. But we're screwed, and pardon my language, because very few people in Congress even get it. And being a lawyer does not qualify you for understanding technology. I'm sorry, you still need to educate yourself a bit on high tech. So I am really happy that someone like you is running. What are your thoughts on Congress? And I know you just got done saying they're clueless. Trump Jr., I'm sorry, he needs to be educated a bit more on high tech. That's why they're getting run over. That's why we are losing that battle, the high tech battle, and why they are losing that battle, because they're clueless. Now, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, look, the issue is that career politicians are Muppets of the triangle of the military-industrial academic complex. They want dummies, okay? And everyday people have a lot of common sense. You know, I still work every day. I get up at 4 in the morning. I run a business. I do my science. I write papers. It just so happens I want to serve this country. That was the original model. The model was you didn't go into career. You didn't become a politician to be a celebrity and write your books and be somebody. That's what we have on the left and the right now. And that's what we have in all of these movements. I keep harping on this. Even in the so-called movements where people say we want to be anti-vaxxers, it's all about people who are following a global capitalist culture of celebrityhood, okay? It is so deep in this culture that you are supposed to look and feel and behave and act a certain way. And therefore, then you get acknowledgement. And that model, it's a very cultural issue. The real issue is everyday people, a plumber, electrician, an engineer, was supposed to participate in governance. You had a job, you served, and you went the hell back. This was not supposed to be a career for life. If I'm going to do this, I'm only going to do it for 1 year, period. I mean, one term. That's
I was
going
to say, you can't do it for 1 year. If you get elected, you better stay the term. But go ahead.
I'm talking about one term.
Yeah, I know.
And that's a promise and a commitment that has to be made. Because you know why? The day these people are elected, because none of them have any other real, frankly, careers, 99% of them, the day they're elected, the instant they're elected, they're starting their re-election campaign. If you look at any one of these guys' agenda, a full-day agenda of 8 hours, 90% of it is having meetings to either create their own influence or to get donations. That's what they're doing.
You always hear that they use the people's money to bribe the people to vote for them again. You know, it's all just they use the tax money to bribe the people.
But I'm saying the way you bust that up is through example. They should say, I'm only going to serve there one term, is what I'm going to do. So when I go in there, so think about a senator 6 years, right? 6 years. If they're 90% of the time spending on getting donors and existing again for the next term, that means 5.4 years they're in there not working for you, only 0.6 years. Think about that. Now, if I go in there and say, look, I'm not caring about my reelection, I'm going to work 100% for you. They just got a senator for six times the term, or at least five times. See what I'm saying? And in those 6 years, I'm going to be focusing on legislation, not being governed by lobbyists, not caring whether I get elected or not, because I'm not going to run again. And in those 6 years, I'm going to create leaders, not followers. So if you read that speech that I gave, very ad hoc extemporaneous speech, my goal on December 2nd is we're going to run a workshop, which I've done many times before, train people to be systems revolutionaries, teach people how systems work, teach them these six principles, teach them how you can apply those principles to politics or even to understand the immune system, the immigration system, to big tech censorship, and then they can have tools that they go teach people, Sarah.
Perfect.
That's how we win.
Okay, so now
we're not going to win.
Are you going to run as an independent? Are you going to run as are you going to run? Because you still have to run, get on the ticket and stuff.
Well, here's the deal. Either party doesn't matter. Okay, they both suck. They both don't serve people. They're both part of the establishment.
Yes. Okay? Yeah.
I never ran in electoral politics. I never voted because in 1984 I realized that there was the establishment and the not so obvious establishment. And for example, if you remember, that's when Jesse Jackson ran against Ronald Reagan and Walter Mondale. And I saw him, how he initially got people involved, right? Got people excited, like a lot of these not so obvious establishment people do, right? And at the last minute, he gave all of his votes to Mondale because he said, oh my God, the lesser of two evils nonsense. So I never voted in my life. But when Trump ran, I saw him at least hammering both parties. So that's when I decided to register as an independent. I voted for him, and then I registered as a Republican. But the Republican Party in Massachusetts doesn't want an outsider like me for all sorts of reasons. So, and they were never going to let me get on the ballot for U.S. Senate. So we ran as independents. And we got over 100,000 votes. I mean, close to 100,000 votes, five times more than any U.S. Senate candidate in Massachusetts history as an independent. And they didn't allow us on the debate stage, even though we filled out every papers, got our 20,000 signatures. We had to file a federal lawsuit. They don't want outsiders. They violate their own rules. So I'm deciding to run as a Republican, but you know what?
See,
I may not do
holds.
That.
That's why I'm saying it. You might not, well, you might still go to, go ahead.
But if they don't treat me right, we may start our own party this time, not even run as an independent because there's so many people who feel disenfranchised. The immunity
avalanche.
The vaccine issue.
You have an avalanche of people. I said it's an avalanche of people. It's the majority of the people feel disenfranchised. But keep going.
Exactly. They don't have a voice. You know, my thing is they've never had someone like me. I'm one of them. I'm not a Kennedy. They have drooling Joe Kennedy running here. You know, he's been in Congress for 6.5 years. And, you know, the Republican, former Republican governor of Massachusetts has already endorsed him. I'm the only Republican candidate standing. What, a outsider? They don't want a guy like me because I'm one of you. They want one of them. So the Republican former governor is endorsing a Democrat. The current Republican governor, Charlie Baker, who hates Trump, is endorsing, has not even acknowledged me. So it's like, screw you. It's the aristocracy versus the untouchables like you and me. That's what this is about. This is not about Republicans and Democrats. My running for U.S. Senate in Massachusetts, with all humility, is probably one of the most important elections because no one's ever had an untouchable guy who came from India, actually busted his ass, actually earned his way through, got 4 degrees, started 7 companies, actually is an authentic real person. That scares the shit out of them. So what they need to do is they're so scared of me that they will even go support the Democrat. And that's
they will.
Why the
and
election.
I just had an interview with somebody in California who ran for governor, and they did the exact same thing, spent millions of dollars against him, and the establishment Republicans did that against him. So you are exactly right.
Yeah, so the only way out of this is to recognize that the only people that I care about and people care about me is everyday people. You know, when we ran last time, 90% of the people voted for me were the white working class. It wasn't the Indians, you know. No Indian voted for me because most of them are racist in Massachusetts, for that matter in this country, because most of them are from the upper caste. So, you know, the way I look at it, it's everyday working people who are my people, be it in India or in New Jersey, you know, working people that I grew up with. And those people have never had representation. Never. They've never had someone like me who came from nothing. And it's time they got someone like me, and I'm going to educate them so they become leaders, not followers.
I love this. I love your
the election of 2020 is going to be about. And Sarah, you can help
energy.
With that, because I think that the presidential election is going to be interesting, but I'm going to tell you the US Senate 2020 election with me running is probably the most important election. Why? Because after 1776, those people who lost, the aristocracy, didn't get up and leave for London. They embedded themselves deep into Massachusetts, and they've been running a counter-revolution since then. They're the blue bloods, Democrat and Republican. So in Massachusetts, there's truly one party. In other states, maybe in Texas, there's a little bit of a difference, but here, it's the blue bloods of Massachusetts who hate the thought of a little peasant guy like me or one of you winning. And that's why this election is going to be so important, because, and I bet you the Republicans will run someone against me. Because even though I'm the only candidate, they will probably try to undercut me, try to keep me out of the primary. And if they do that, well, they're going to have hell to pay for it.
Yep. They. Well, we're going to have you on. We're going to have get you more exposure. There's a lot of other independent media channels that can help.
Anyway, Sarah, I think what I can tell people listening out there is it's time that you had one of you. It's time that you became leaders. It's time that people took control of their bodies. It's time that people took responsibility. There's no government that's going to help anybody. They never do. They're basically arms of very, very super wealthy people, and they don't give a damn about you or me. They want, you know, today, even in monarchy times, the average peasant paid 30% to the king, right? Today, the average person is getting taken around 60%. You know, that's how much pound of flesh they take from us. Yeah. So the issue is, and you have the audacity of a Joe Kennedy who thinks he should be a leader, you know, when he has contributed zero. And that's what this is, the aristocracy versus you and me. This is, and I'm one of you. And it's time that people had people who fought for you. And it's time that people stood up and learned and stopped giving away their power to centralize authorities. The vaccine issue is not about vaccine issue. It's about the state telling you what's going to be injected into your bloodstream and the bloodstream of 7.2 billion people. That's what this is about.
Absolutely it is. Well, thank you so much. And you got to help me, tell me what I can do to support your run. And where can people hear more about you? That's the most important thing.
What people can do is they can help themselves. My goal is to merely be a catalyst. You know, the goal is you can go to vashiva.com or truthfreedomhealth.com. We have a online systems revolutionary training workshop that you can go to and you can sign up, and that you can learn the principles of how to be a systems revolutionary. If you want to support me for my Senate campaign, go to shivaforsenate.com. You can be a volunteer. If you want to give money, you can. But more importantly, educate yourself, because that's when you free yourself. And what I want to teach you is all the things that I was fortunate to learn from the establishment itself and how they fight and how to defeat them. That's what this is about. It's about educate. You know, the problem with Facebook and all these social media, you know how they call people followers? I want to make people leaders, not followers. That's what we need, Sarah. So you can go to vashiva.com, you can go to truthfreedomhealth.com, or you can go to shivaforsenate.com, numeral 4 and Shiva for Senate. That's how you can help yourself. Thank you.
Thank you so much.